Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Good day. I like the movie Guardians of the Galaxy. Anybody seen the movie Guardians of the Galaxy? And I'm not endorsing the movie or anything like that, but I like sci-fi and I enjoy that movie. And I really, when I saw the poster and I saw like the stuff, I was like a talking raccoon and a tree, and yeah, I'm not there. And I watched the movie, and immediately, like in the first couple minutes, this boy gets a mixtape. How many of you know about mixtapes? So I actually found a picture. I had that very stereo system. That very one, sound design, yeah, hi-fi. It had these two big speakers, and if I thought that, you know, the size of the speakers I thought was great, and then I got a little older, and I remember the thing came off, and the little things were just itty-bitty tiny. It was a big box with little lousy speakers. But I saved, and I worked, and I worked, and I got this thing, and I used to listen. There was a cassette player, and this was back before, and I'm dating myself, there was an 8-track player. So I'd make these mixtapes, and what we do is we listen to American Top 40 with Casey Kasem, and I'd be in the other part of the room, so I had a mixtape of my favorite songs, but none of them had the first 15 seconds, because I'd hear the song, figure out what it was, and run over, and then just sit. So I really knew the second verse of a lot of songs, but I don't know how they began. And so I have this mixtape, and the problem was, I'd try to take it to my car, but my car only had an 8-track player. Now, they made an adapter, but the adapter only chewed the cassette tape. So I resonated kind of with that. And those of you who know, I mean, some of you maybe were like into 78 RPM records. Okay, I wasn't there. I had 33 and a third or 45s, the little bitty ones. It's like, pull, pow. Okay, so enjoyed that stuff. I really like it. Well, here's one thing that I liked about this. And you're thinking, what does this in the world have to do with the Gospel of Luke? The cool thing about a mixtape was I'd get my favorite stuff. And as I'd share a mixtape, they knew some things about me. They knew like my taste in music. They knew the things that I like. You know, some of those themes, you thought, I didn't think you liked. They found some things. There was no country music on it. Sorry, gang. Sorry. I just wasn't there. I know some of you are, but I wasn't. Country was different back then anyway. And I had a lot of different types of things. As I thought about the Gospel of Luke, you know, it's kind of like a Luke going around getting a mixtape. He's kind of getting all of his favorite encounters with Jesus, and he's bringing them together. And just like someone could listen to one of my mixtapes and get an idea of who I was, when we look at these encounters of individuals who met Jesus and had these interactions, we can learn something about literally the author, not just Luke, but through the Holy Spirit who has inspired him. So last week we left off with the feeding of the 5,000 and how that was such an amazing miracle demonstrating Christ's power. And let's just jump right in to immediately following the feeding of the 5,000, Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 20. Now it happened as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets of old has risen. Then he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God, the anointed of God, the anointed one of God. This word Christ is Christos, means the anointed one. In other words, he's saying, you're the Messiah. You are the fulfillment of the promised one to come, who is going to redeem Israel. So this is an incredible interaction that the good doctor shares here. And we have this moment following a demonstration of the power of God through miracles and healing and divine provision. And now Jesus is praying alone. He's not getting a bunch of high fives. He's not seeking the fame that probably was going to come with this demonstration of power. Rather, he was connecting with the Father and probably demonstrating as well. And everything that Jesus did, he wasn't just doing it. He was giving us an example. And so he poses this question to those people, these people who have just received supernatural healing, who ate from this unending basket of food. What did the manifestation of divine grace in their lives translate to? And they missed it. In one of those answers of the crowd, who do they say that I am? They all missed it, okay? Was he John the Baptist? And by the way, John the Baptist had just been beheaded. Okay, that's what we're finding out when we lay a chronology. Jesus knew John. This is probably hard for him to understand. Elijah, one of the prophets of old who's come again. Okay, this was an understanding. And again, this, a good analysis of this text should begin with who is asking this question. So who's posing this question to the disciples? Jesus. And now I have another question. So the next question is to why. Did Jesus not know what the crowds were saying? Do you remember a few chapters earlier, we talked about Jesus responding to Simon the leper's thinking? Didn't say that. He said he had an inner monologue, an inner dialogue, and Jesus responded to what he was thinking about this woman who came and broke this alabaster flask and anointed Jesus. My point is this. If we're looking at this, God doesn't ask questions to get information. He's not lacking information. Back in the Garden of Eden, God is coming into the garden. Adam and Eve had sinned. They transgressed the very simple commandments of God, and they were hiding. And God said, Adam, where are you? Did God not know where Adam was? Come out, wherever you are. He may have played with kids. They're underneath the covers, and this mattress is lumpy. Yeah, you know it's not. It's them. So the point is, Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew that they missed it. He had just done this incredible manifestation. He demonstrated his power over natural law. He demonstrated his power to sustain, to provide. He had just healed people. And now he's asking them, what has the result of the manifestation of my power? Are people getting it? Do they know who I am? And I guess my question for a lot of us, and all that God has done, and he's done a lot of stuff, are we knowing him better, or do we just know about him? What's it doing in our lives? Words matter. And after their answer, Jesus pushes the question. He says, I like here in verse 20, so they gave the answer. And what's the first word in quotations there? But who do you say I am? So this word should be a contrast. He's saying, hey, look, there's something going on here that they're missing it. But what about you? Are you getting it? Peter's the one who speaks up. Peter says through a revelation of the Holy Spirit, because if we read the other gospel account, as Peter said this, Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. In other words, Peter, I've seen how you act. You're not getting it, okay? The Spirit has revealed this to you, okay? And then he kind of goes and tells him of some things happen. So my first point for us here today is this. What is Jesus to me? I should say, who is Jesus? But I also want to say, what is Jesus? Is Jesus our divine ATM? Is Jesus our paramedic? Is Jesus the one who is our counselor? Or is Jesus Lord of all? Everybody say Lord. Because there's a difference between an ATM and a Lord. There's a difference between being the King of Kings and having all authority and all power in your life and being one who you simply go to when you need something. Is this translating? Sadly, many are comfortable with a group relationship with the Almighty. And that can get skewed. The crowds sometimes miss it. And I mean, you've heard me in a long time giving critique about the culture of church in prosperous Western societies. Okay, and I haven't really been silent of some of my fears and some of my concerns that we look a whole lot more like social clubs than we necessarily do being transformed into the image of God, to bear the image of God to a world that so desperately needs it. We are so worried about being happy and being entertained. Church is not a TV station. It is not a movie. It is not something that we participate in simply to be entertained. Church is a community of believers who are experiencing grace and being transformed by the very grace that they experience to know Him more, not to just see more things done. Experiential church is a very scary thing. Just have to see what's the next big hype. What's the next big hype? What's the next big hype? And there's a problem, gang, if we only know God in the corporate sense. And it doesn't translate to walking with Him. I mean, the songwriter had it right. And He walks with me. And He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. We read in other gospel accounts that Jesus knew that many followed Him simply because of the miracles, because of they had been divinely fed and divinely healed. And true followers of Christ, though, true followers, as He's having this conversation with His disciples, saying that something has to happen where you have to transcend following Christ simply for what He can do for you. Now, I'm not saying salvation isn't a big thing, because it is. But is that the limit? What happens when that's what happens when people go through a hard time and say, well, I'm out. You're going to have hard times. Every Christian who's here, every one of us, unless Jesus comes back, we're going to die. Well, that was real uplifting, Pastor. Unless God does, you know, unless Jesus comes back and do, 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 and we all go up, we're going to, whether it be from old age, whether it be from, disease or sickness or tragedy, all of which happen. All of which happen. I mean, do we understand and have we read and understand early church history where even the disciples were martyred? We have a recorded death of so many of the disciples, you know, being beheaded, being crucified upside down because they didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner of Christ. Early Christians understood that their persecution came, and yet they were so convinced of who Jesus was and the world that is to come of eternity they went through. Now, I know that kind of seems like, wow, you really depressed us all, Pastor. But I'm more convinced of eternity, and it's good. It is good, and it's a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And so what he's finding out is if Jesus is who he says, that demands. Everybody say demands. It demands a response. If Jesus is only the one, he's only my genie in the lantern, he's only my ATM, if that's who Christ is to me, I have no desire to want to know him more. If he is the Son of God, which he is, he offers to us a relationship with him. So if your spiritual life is primarily in the group setting, understand Jesus in the crowd. You only know Jesus in the crowd, not in the personal level. There is so much more. Peter acknowledges that Jesus is the Messiah, the incarnate Son of God, the Savior. And what is he to you today, dear friend? Seriously, I'd like you to ponder that question. What is Jesus to me? Because that's why he came. He came so that we can know him, and we can know him, not just to do things for us, but we can have a relationship with God here in this fallen world and for eternity in the world to come. And so we are called to a personal relationship with Jesus beyond the crowd. So what is Jesus to me? Jesus calls us, we are called to a personal relationship with Jesus beyond the crowd. Let's go on here in verse 21. And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed on the third, and on the third day be raised. So he continues on here. Was it that Jesus didn't want people to know who he was? Of course not. But what he didn't want them is to force their revelation upon them. And that's where a lot of us are. How many of you love to win arguments? We'd rather win arguments. And I'm guilty. I'm very, very guilty as a control freak. I am guilty of wanting things to be done. And rather, I've recognized that this is an error, a personal flaw that I have in raising my kids. Because a lot of times I was more concerned with them doing something rather than to understand and learn how to do it themselves. Any other dads in the room have that problem besides me? Okay, well, I've struggled with that. And I recognize that. And boy, I wish there were some things that I could do over. But the truth is, a lot of us would rather push our thoughts and views upon individuals rather than allow them to encounter and find them, to have a personal relationship. Now look, no one can have my relationship with Christ. Only I can. But I can't have yours, and you should have yours. So we have to understand that there's an experience that goes along with this. Of course, Jesus wanted these things, but he also understood that timing was crucial, and his ministry has to come into focus on to fulfill all prophecy. He was on a divine timeline. He would not be rushed, and his approach to the cross was laid out specifically, as we're going to recognize here as we go through Lent, to fulfill all of the law and prophets. Okay, so he's not going to get ahead of schedule. And if individuals, begin to think and they jump ahead of the gun, they're going to try to make him enthrone him in a way that isn't right. Because the crowd doesn't even know who he is now, do they? Their understanding of Messiah is they're going to overthrow the political government of Rome. Look, I pray for our government. And I think we all should be praying for our government. But some of us have melded the lines between our faith and our politics. Now, be careful with that. Be careful, because we have an eternal kingdom that our citizenship is in. Okay? We're citizens here, but our eternal citizenship needs to come first. And understand that this world is fallen. Okay? Now, verse 22 is where it kind of gets tough. He says, the Son of Man is going to do this. I don't think that they didn't get it here. Jesus is telling them this is what's going to happen. In fact, in another account, the disciples rebuke him. Peter, the one who just said, you're the Christ, the Son of God, rebukes Jesus in saying that he's going to go to the cross and die. So, here's my second point. And this one really gets me. Am I open to God's plan? All my points today are a question and then kind of a follow-up statement. And so my second one, the first one, of course, was what is Jesus to me? And the second one is, am I open to God's plan? Because my openness to God's plan reflects on who the answer to the first question is. If Jesus is my ATM, I am not interested in any road that means that I am not getting everything I want. And I got to tell you, in walking with faith and growing in faith, which I'm still on this journey, there are times I don't understand God's plan. Does anybody in this room resonate with me? There are times I just don't know why things happen. There are times I would say, God, I would have done it differently. I really would have. And you know what? It's important for us to lean into this. The truth be told, this is a hard one. The disciples listened to all the words that Jesus was saying, but they weren't really hearing. And thus the resistance to Jesus walking out God's plan of salvation. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, oh dear friends, sometimes our journey is tough to figure out. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes that we assume what God's pathway might be, And when it changes, are we willing to trust? And that's why that first question is so important. Because if he is who he says he is, then I can trust him. I can trust him when I don't understand what's going on my journey. So the statement following, am I open to God's plan? Is this is what a relationship with Christ means. That we can put our trust in God even when his plans are beyond our comprehension. That's a gold mine right there. I can trust a God I don't fully understand. You know, I have a lot of people who sit there and say, you know, that they're not going to make a decision to follow Christ until they absolutely have all doubt removed. Well, I'm like, well, doubts kind of come. There are challenges. There are things that I haven't figured out. Some people won't make a decision to follow Christ until they have absolutely no reason. Every factual evidence has to line up. Look, the bottom line is there are some things that we just won't get on this side. Okay? We shouldn't have the crowd mentality that says, I follow because of the miracles, and then when the miracles stop, I stop following, and then I call him a liar, and I know so-called Christians who do that. Bottom line is, he's steering the ship, not me. He is not a genie in a bottle for me to boss around. And that is so hard to reconcile with so much doctrine that happens in church culture nowadays. That's hard. Okay? He is, in fact, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he has paid the price of our salvation with his perfect blood. And that same God has offered to walk with us rain or shine. Here's how I know that I can answer that question. When I don't know what's going on, I know that he can walk by my side. I know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, what an image of the fourth man in the fire. Even if God doesn't deliver me, I'm still not going to bow my knee, and they got chucked in the fire. That didn't make a whole lot of sense, but they weren't in the fire alone. Please hear me. Some of you are in some difficult places. I'm not about to try to tell you that I have it figured out, and I totally resonate with you if you say, I just don't know. Here's what I'm telling you you can do. You can trust that he will be with you through the valley. He won't leave you. And that's the lie that we sang about, the reckless love of God. That's one of the lies that Satan tries to do. Is say you're on your own. You cannot understand and still put your faith in the one who loves you. Good times and bad times, he is here, and he reconciles me to a place with him. And when I breathe my last breath here on earth, whether from old age, accident, tragedy, or illness, or martyrdom, he will call me to an eternal home with him. And his pathway is beyond my comprehension, and so is his saving grace. It is immeasurable mercy and his unconditional love. He is always beyond my comprehension. And yet he's worthy of my fullest trust, especially when I don't understand. And so just a few verses later, Luke describes Jesus on a mountain with Peter and with John and with James. And as he prays, he becomes luminous before their eyes. As he stands there, there is Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Why Moses and Elijah? Representing the law and the prophets. Through Moses, the law came, and through Elijah, you know, is representing the law and the prophets, both of which Jesus fulfilled. All the law and all the prophets were fulfilled. And then a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son, okay? Listen to him. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. That's called a relationship with God. So many of us like to take the law and beat each other up with it. We like to take our view on the prophets and, oh, this is how we understand. And rather than develop a relationship with Christ to know that he fulfills it. Prior to this, they listened. Their understanding of God was through the law and the prophets. And now God was incarnate with them, not throwing away the law and the prophets at all, but totally fulfilling them in a way behind their comprehension. And thus God says, listen to him. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. This is just from my, Jesus has never told me to panic. I've told myself to panic. Jesus has never told me to worry. I love to worry. Worry means I'm in control. So to answer that first question, when I worry and when I panic, that's me taking the wheel. When he takes the wheel, he says, look, we may be getting ready. We're going through the rapids, but I got this. That's free. Luke 9, 23 through 27, as we get ready to wrap this up. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let's all read this together, gang, ready? And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here that will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. All right, gang. My final point. Am I daily taking up my cross? That's my question. Am I daily taking up my cross? So remember the beginning I told you about mixtapes? So how many of you ever saw this? Go ahead and put this next one on. Do you ever remember this? The Columbia House Record Club. 11 albums, records, or tapes for one penny. I thought I was a music lover. I really did. And I remember seeing this and I was like, 11 records and tapes for a penny? Sign me up. And then my mom said, would you read the fine print? And I looked at the fine print. And the fine print, then you had to buy, you were actually enrolling yourself for a record a month that they chose to send you. And then, you know, you had to go through the process of this. And she knew. So I, needless to say, I didn't do it. But if you did the math, there are also specials. If you did the math, it was still a good deal. If you really added the math up and you did the things by, you know, saying, okay, no, I don't want this one, but I'll take advantage of the specials. You could have got an entire big library, but you are going to have to spend some money. How many of you are cheap? Now look, I have been known to try to jimmy the 1 cent gumball machine to get two gumballs. That's how cheap I am. I have been known to get a tea bag out of the trash and flick the eggshell off to get one more cup of tea. Because that extra cup of tea is better than the first one that you got. Pray for me, church. I'm recovering. I'm a recovering cheapaholic, okay? So I claim to be a music lover, but the truth was I had no desire to pay any cost. I liked free stuff. I still like free stuff. I'm still cheap. I'm still covering. And I know this is kind of a bad analogy because I thought I was a music guy, but I really wasn't. I had some friends, man, and they had huge. And I thought, how do you have all these tapes? They were actually cassettes, not these 8 tracks. But they had tons and tons of music and they spent money and they invested because they really liked it. I was content just with my little cheap mixtape and not have the whole thing. So I really wasn't a music lover. I really just liked my stuff. And some of us claim to be Christians, but we're not willing to deny ourselves daily. We're not willing to count up the cost and follow. Ouch, that was mean. But the truth is there is a cost to following. Now, this is probably a bad analogy because I'm not saying that we earn our salvation. I'm not saying Jesus did it. Jesus paid the full price of our salvation on the cross. And he offers to us relationship, but he doesn't force it. And so, you know, just like a healthy marriage is to spend time with the one you love. If you have no interest in talking, you know, that's problematic. You know, we don't know anything about individuals, okay? Jesus is not saying, here's a list of things that you have to do to follow me. He is saying, this is what a sincere follower of me looks like. Are we willing to count up the cost? My final statement past that question is, we'll get ready for our hymn. When we follow Jesus, we have different values, different priorities, and different actions than the rest of the world. There is a difference. There is a difference. You have different priorities, you have different values, and you have different actions. If you look like the entire rest of the world, that's a problem. If our life just looks a whole lot like everyone else's life, that's problematic, gang. And this is not a throw stones at. This is just, I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know the salvation that God offers to us. I want you to know Him as your closest companion and friend. So not if, but when the road of life gets really difficult, when you hit those hard times, you know you're not alone. And when the end comes, it's not going to be well done. It's going to be well done. Jesus offers us tremendous, tremendous blessings. Denying ourselves and taking up our cross does not make us a Christ follower. It's what a Christ follower does to want to know Jesus more. And the beautiful thing is that as we do this, we find our lives in ways that we could never imagine. Amen? All right, stand to your feet, church family. We'll just pray.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org. Or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.